Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You better you bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
This is a treat here on You Better You Bet on a Monday on Radio.com Sports to be talking college hoops with our buddy John Rothstein, who everyone knows at this point, veteran college basketball reporter for CBS Sports. I think one of the greatest Twitter follows of all time. He's literally like a cottage industry unto himself on Twitter. And I worked with John at Sports Illustrated for a little while and can tell you that JR, the guy, equally as nice as the guy he is on Twitter. So it ain't a front. He's for real, man. He is the real deal. And great to welcome JR into the show. John, what's up, man? Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley here. You better you bet. Radio.com Sports on a Monday. We stand on the precipice of the college basketball season. JR, my man, how does it feel?
It feels, Nick, obviously like we are on the cusp of something really, really exciting. I know there's been a lot of setbacks. There's been obviously a lot of delays and a lot of cancellations. But the facts are the facts. On Wednesday, we had 139 college basketball games scheduled. And 122 are still on. That's 88%. Nick, with Thanksgiving, you know, now just days away, I know what I'm thankful for.
Yeah, and Johnny, you mentioned the setbacks, and, you know, okay, you know, we can get into that a little bit, but it's also, yeah, there's a ton of, you know, news, and I think for people that bet on games, like, we're going to have games, and so we just have to figure out how to kind of put the pieces together with whether coaches who are testing positive or teams that are changing opponents, which is something I want to ask you about. When we see all these kind of schedule changes, I saw a tweet that, you know, somebody showed up to Mohegan Sun, a team expecting to play, you know, I think it was two teams, and then now they're actually going to play two totally different teams, you know, 2 days from now or 3 days from now. Whether it's talking to coaches or other kind of sources in the sport, what kind of an effect are all those kind of late changes going to have on, you know, the performances or just preparing for who you're going to play?
You got to have your head on a swivel 24 hours a day and, you know, 7 days a week. And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, we really need to look at right now is just the teams that are going to have the most success are the teams that are going to be obviously capable of moving around and playing different styles. And that's why I think, you know, teams that are deep and teams obviously that have the ability to boast veteran experience are going to be much more well prepared to navigate this uncharted territory, which we find ourselves in.
Now, JR, it's unfortunate, man, that coaches are popping up with COVID-19. You know, Scott Drew, we had Baylor and Arizona State was scheduled for Wednesday. I know you had that earlier today on Twitter. Like, what kind of season do you think we're going to see here over at least the first couple of weeks and hopefully things stabilize? Like, how insane do you think this is going to get? And I promise we'll get to more fun stuff coming up in a couple moments here.
Oh, you know, Nick, it's going to be something where things are constantly going to be changing, you know, on a daily basis. But this is, you know, what I was telling somebody, you know, about an hour and a half ago. We're in the middle of a once-in-a-century global pandemic. We've been wearing masks for 8 or 9 months. I mean, it's a tragedy. Over 250,000 Americans have died due to COVID-19. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be cancellations. But with all that, there is still going to be a season. And there's still going to be an NCAA tournament. And, Nick, this is the way I look at it. On Wednesday, we are going to have college basketball for the first time in roughly 8 months. And Wednesday will be, without question, because we have college basketball, the best day that we've had since March 12th. I think that's saying something.
And John, also, I mean, we have to look no further than, I mean, college football. Like, should we be playing? Should we not playing? Well, the kids wanted to play, and we are playing. And, you know, despite all the cancellations and stuff, we're plowing through that season, and we played a lot of games already, and we're probably going to have a playoff in that sport too. So, I mean, you know, I still think there is some hope for college basketball to accomplish the same thing, which means it's probably a good idea to talk about who the best team is and who's going to win the title, because that's something a lot of bettors are going to be interested in. And as we have an eye toward whatever March is going to look like, trying to identify, like you said, maybe it's the deepest team, maybe it's the team with the most talent, maybe it's the team that's the best coach that can adapt to a lot of these situations. So I'll just kind of tell you, you know, I start, you know, my very, very basic prep, right? Who's in the AP top 10? Ken Pom releases his first ratings, and it's kind of a mix of the same teams, right? It's Gonzaga, or it's Villanova, or it's Baylor, or, you know, I know Ken Pom had Duke up pretty high. Like, who to you kind of stands out right now? Is there one team above all the others, or at least who's in that elite group?
You know, Villanova and obviously Baylor are at the top of my rankings. You know, I think Gonzaga is obviously going to be terrific, but they did lose a first-team All-American in Philip Petrušev. I also think, you know, it could be the year of the outlier in this sense. We have teams, Iowa with Luka Garza back, Illinois with Io Desunmu back, Baylor with such a big nucleus back. This could be the year of the outlier, because you're going to have teams potentially, not that those teams I just mentioned, you know, don't have great programs and haven't had pockets of success, but I think there are more teams right now that are not used to being associated with the top of the sport like Blue Bloods are, that have a chance to obviously have seasons to remember.
JR, can you give us like one or two of those teams that you're talking about?
Iowa and Illinois for sure, Nick. And, you know, I also think that, you know, Creighton is a team in the Big East that should have an outstanding basketball team. And then you look around, obviously, the rest of the sport. Arizona State comes to mind, a team we're going to see on, you know, Wednesday night against Rhode Island at Mohegan Sun. Maybe the most explosive perimeter in the country, with Arizona State's tandem of Remy Martin and also Alonzo Virgin. They bring in 2 5-star freshmen in Josh Christopher and also Marcus Bagley, the brother of former Duke star Marvin Bagley.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John, you mentioned Baylor is kind of like, you know, in one of these teams where maybe they're not accustomed to having a ton of success. I mean, this was a team last year, we were saying it over and over again, they kept winning. A lot of us kept betting against them at our own peril, I might add. The games against Kansas were fascinating. You know, as we head into this year, is it kind of the same setup to you in the Big 12, where it's Baylor and Kansas, and then maybe a little bit of a drop to teams like West Virginia or Texas Tech? Or is there a sort of a group of teams at the top? What's kind of your thought on how the Big 12 is going to shake out here as we get toward the wintertime?
Well, I think the Big 12, 1 through 5, will be better than any league in the country this season. We know about Baylor. We know about Kansas. Texas Tech, as long as Chris Beard's the head coach, is going to be a perennial top 25 team. But, guys, Bob Huggins told me a couple of weeks ago that West Virginia's roster is the best roster that he has had and that the program has had since it went to the Final Four in 2010. And then Texas returns 100% of its scoring from last year's team that got hot late. Nick, I know you remember that. And they added a top-flight freshman in Greg Brown. The time is now for Shaka Smart to have his best team yet in Austin.
I know you mentioned, JR, Illinois in the Big Ten. As we get past the Illini and look at some of the other teams that are at the top of the Big Ten, how do you see that conference shaking out this season?
Deeper than deep, and deeper than last year, when it would have had 10 teams in the NCAA tournament. We know there's 14 teams in the Big Ten. Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin, to me, are consensus top 10 teams nationally. Michigan State, I think, has serious point guard questions post Cassius Winston. For my well-embedded moles in East Lansing, there's a lot of talk of obviously moving Rocket Watts off the ball and putting Foster Lawyer on the ball. And then you look at the rest of the Big Ten. Rutgers brings back six of its top eight scorers from a 20-win team and adds a top 50 freshman in 6'11 big man Cliff Amarui. Indiana and Ohio State are formidable. Michigan has two pros up front with Isaiah Livers and also Franz Wagner. And then Matt Painter still at Purdue, Mark Turgeon still at Maryland, and the teams at the bottom of this league, Maryland, Northwestern, and also Nebraska, have improved their personnel.
John, when we talk about the ACC, and I know, you know, people who follow, even, you know, casual fans of college basketball are like, okay, for like 3-4 years in a row, it was basically Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. Virginia kind of parlays all that success into a national title. North Carolina won a national title too. Now, it seems like maybe there was a little bit of a gap last year, obviously, between Duke and everyone else. Do you see, with Duke changing over their team kind of year after year, is there separation between Duke and the rest of the ACC this season?
No, there's not. And I think Duke could be in a position where, you know, it may be down a couple of pegs. And remember this, guys, the best team in the ACC last year was Florida State. And Florida State has been knocking at the door time and time again the last couple of years under Leonard Hamilton. In 2017, they're a 3 seed. In 2018, they go to the Elite Eight and they lose, obviously, to Michigan 58-54 in a regional final. In 2019, they go back to the Sweet 16, lose to Gonzaga, but they weren't at full strength. Remember, both David Nichols and Phil Kofer did not play in that game. Last year, they win the ACC regular season title. There's no NCAA tournament. And Leonard Hamilton has a prospect this year in Scotty Barnes, a 6'9 hybrid forward that he has told me he is going to use in a Ben Simmons-type point forward facilitating role. Scotty Barnes could be pound for pound, inch for inch, the best freshman in the sport, not named Kate Cunningham.
You know, Jay, I remember the Florida State Gonzaga game because I remember you and I were on opposite sides of that game when we picked for Sports Illustrated. I'll leave it to the listeners to figure out who was right on that one. Hint, it was not John Rothstein. It was me. John, one more question in the ACC. Your thoughts on North Carolina, the Tar Heels, heading into the season?
Tremendous recruiting class, tremendous size. I think they'll play ping pong off the backboards, but are they going to get the capable point guard play that they need from two freshmen, Caleb Love and RJ Davis? Are they going to have enough shot making? A very poor team in terms of the way it was run last year, and a very poor shooting team. So North Carolina will be better. I think they'll be an NCAA tournament team. How far they can go when they advance there, that's to be determined.
John, you know, I know people who bet college basketball and bet the futures market last year, a lot of them were holding San Diego State tickets, you know, a team that came out of nowhere, had an amazing record. You know, we'll never know how they would have done in the tournament. Dayton with Obi Toppin, same kind of thing. Who are those, you know, are there teams kind of lingering and maybe we don't know who they are yet, even if it's in, you know, the American, or if it's a kind of a team that appears like a middle of the road Big East team or one of the smaller conferences? You know, who are those San Diego States and Dayton's going to be? Do you have a team that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to look at Richmond in the Atlantic 10. I think St. Louis has a chance to be the best non-power conference team in college basketball. I firmly think that St. Louis would have an excellent chance of beating Dayton last year if they hooked up for a third time at the Atlantic 10 tournament in Brooklyn. The Billikens return three all-conference players, Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French, and Javante Perkins from a 23-win team. You go to the Mountain West, and we know about San Diego State. We know about the history. We know about the tradition. Leon Rice might have his best team yet this year at Boise State. They return the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year in Derek Alston Jr. And what are the keys, guys, in non-power conferences? High major transfers. Boise State has that. Two guys from Arizona, Devonair Dutrieve and also Emmanuel Acott. Another team to watch, and this isn't obviously as off the radar as the teams that I've just mentioned, Connecticut back in the Big East. Connecticut, and I've seen them practice, has a dark horse All-American in James Booknight, a wiry sophomore guard. They've got a transfer from Howard and R.J. Cole, who can set the table, and they've got one of the deepest front courts in college basketball. UConn, to me, has the requisites to be a top three team in the Big East, along with Villanova and Creighton.
UConn has been historically my favorite team to bet on. I've never won more money betting on a college basketball team than the Kemba Walker team that won the national championship. So would love to see UConn back in the spotlight. We know Kentucky will be in the spotlight this year. They get Brandon Boston. Sarr is a transfer from Wake Forest. How do you handicap the top of the SEC, John, obviously with Kentucky, and then kind of who follows from there?
You know, Kentucky and Tennessee are 1-2, in my opinion. LSU might have the best roster in the SEC. Got a freshman in Cam Thomas that, you know, could be, in my opinion, the, you know, most dynamic scorer in the country this year among freshmen. You know, Florida's going to be terrific, and I also think Arkansas, Alabama, and South Carolina will also compete for an NCAA tournament berth.
John, you know, one conference I don't see a lot of, and I don't think it's surprising based on how they played last year and kind of where the conference has been trending when I look at the polls, when I look at KenPom, is the Pac-12. I believe the highest-rated Pac-12 team in KenPom is Oregon at 20th. So, you know, obviously want your thoughts on kind of the conference and how you see it shaking out. But also, for people that follow college football, the Pac-12 has been a nightmare so far. Started late, lot more protocols, the states communicating with each other, a lot of cancellations. Do you expect the Pac-12 to kind of behave differently in that way than the other conferences? And also, you know, if they do play basketball the way we hope they do, who do you have winning it all, you know, in the conference at the end of the year?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing that you need to look at is, you know, when you look at the Pac-12, their conference that, like the Big Ten, is testing every day, which gives them a better chance of making it through this situation that we're dealing with COVID, you know, with the least amount of hiccups. But I think the Pac-12 has a chance to tie its 2016 record of 7 NCAA tournament teams. I think I'm pretty confident they'll get at least 5, but I've got 3 top 25 teams there in UCLA, Arizona State, and Oregon. And Stanford is a close 4th because of Zaire Williams, who's going to be a lottery pick in next year's draft.
JR, big game coming up this week in college basketball with Gonzaga and Kansas. Connor, how do you handicap that one coming up, the Zags in Kansas?
Kansas is going to shift to a small ball lineup and play, you know, with 4 perimeter players around David McCormick. You know, it's going to be a fascinating match with the point guard. You've got a grizzled veteran in Marcus Garrett against Jalen Suggs for Gonzaga. But, you know, it's an interesting contrast, you know, in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, you're going to have a great matchup in point guard, as I mentioned, and a great matchup in the pivot with Drew Timmy and also David McCormick. So that will be a good pre-tryptophan treat on Thanksgiving.
John, you mentioned, I forget how many games, like 140, I mean, just like a buffet of college basketball options on Wednesday, Thursday, and again on Friday. You know, for people who are kind of trying to get excited about the season, maybe don't know a lot about the teams, give us maybe, you know, 1 or 2 kind of cherry pick games aside from Gonzaga, Kansas, that people can turn on over the Thanksgiving weekend and be excited about.
UCLA, San Diego State, you know, Wednesday night. I'll be in the studio for that on CBS Sports Network. I think you gotta like, you know, what you see in the Empire Classic at Mohegan Sun. Baylor's not in it, but you'll get a look at Arizona State's perimeter. You'll get a look at Villanova. That's obviously going to be exciting. And then Saturday night, we got Michigan State, Notre Dame in East Lansing. And then I think you're going to get a good look at West Virginia, you know, at the Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls, a team, again, that Bob Huggins thinks is the best team and the best roster that he's had since 2010, when Deshaun Butler, Devin Ebanks, and that crew knocked off John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kentucky at the Carrier Dome to get to the Final Four.
This is very exciting, because now I'm really pumped to watch and bet on college basketball over the next couple days. JR, final question for you. Who's going to win National Player of the Year?
Fantastic question. I mean, it's hard to bet against Luka Garza right now, you know, so I'm going to take Luka Garza. I took Luka Garza last year over Obi Toppin, not because I thought obviously he would be a better pro, but Luka Garza was a 24-10 guy last year in a Big Ten conference that featured Jalen Smith, Caleb Wesson, Kofi Coburn, Xavier Tillman. Luka Garza, to me, until somebody else proves it, is a National Player of the Year in college basketball.
JR, when stuff gets back to normal and people come to visit New York City again, give us a restaurant recommendation, because I don't know if a lot of people know this about John Rothstein, but in addition to being a college basketball junkie, JR also a foodie. What? Give us a great restaurant recommendation for people in the tri-state area here for New York. And then once again, once things get back to normal, when people start visiting New York again.
I mean, Nick, you can't just say, well, give me one restaurant in New York. I mean, there's 2 or 3 on every block. I mean, what type of, obviously, you know, genre do you want right now? Do you want Italian? Do you want Asian? Do you want Greek? Do you want, you know, American? It all depends on what's tickling your fancy.
Give us an Italian recommendation here, since I live in a house in Staten Island surrounded by Italians here. So let's go with the Italian recommendation.
You know, Elio's on 85th and 2nd. Is a classic joint. You know, they have, you know, some people believe they have the best pasta in the city. Wednesday is veal meatball night, and also make a very good, you know, tuna steak, which I enjoy from time to time. I got to watch my calories as I get older. You know that.
I know it very well, man. JR, tell the people where they can find all the great work you do coming up for this college basketball season.
Oh, I'll be obviously contributing to CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network, as always. I'll also be, you know, blogging daily at collegehoopstoday.com, which is the same name as my podcast, the College Hoops Today podcast, the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. In addition to that, I'm also the host of Stuffed with John Rothstein, and that's going to be debuting tomorrow with our friends Mark Titus and Tate Frazier, and also Big Cat and PFT. So from Pardon My Take. So we're going to have a really, really good good opening show, like a Friendsgiving edition, and we're going to keep it moving.
JR, absolutely love it, brother. Hope you and your family have an excellent Thanksgiving. Pumped to have college basketball back and pumped to welcome you back at some point soon to You Better, You Bet, man. Have a great holiday, and we'll catch up in the near future.
Thanks, Nick. Great being with you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's our buddy John Rothstein from CBS Sports here on You Better, You Bet.